Okay, so let's move on and moving back to anchoring now. So, chaining anchors. We would use chaining anchors when we want to move a client from the desired state to a present state, and where the desired state is a very long way away from the present state, as in it's far removed from. Yeah. We want to use it where the desired state is far removed from the present state. So, for example, one we often use is, let's say this is the present state, and let's say it's procrastination. And we want them to is motivation. Now, most people don't find it very easy to go from procrastination to motivation in one step because it's too big a leap. So what we can do with the chaining anchors process is guide them into motivation, a bit like we do when we do the overlapping representational systems. It's like overlapping anchors almost, if that makes sense. So we put in some intermediary states in between to move them from one state to the other. So examples would be like procrastination to motivation, not knowing to knowing, uncertainty to certainty. And we're looking for states, ideally, these are useful for, that are what we call a stuck state. So we want to work with someone's in a state where they're just stuck somewhere. So boredom to excitement, for example, would work as well. A stuck state is one where the client doesn't seem, there's not much movement in the state. It's kind of like a very still state, for example. Procrastination being one, not knowing, very mental state, just sitting there doing nothing. Uncertainty, often that's a stuck state. So states where there's not much movement in it to start with. Now, the chaining anchors process is very different from the collapse anchors process in one way. And that is, collapse anchors process, we fire the anchors off simultaneously, as in at the same time. With the chaining anchors process, we fire them sequentially. Yes? That's a big difference. Because if you fire them at the same time in the chaining anchors process, what's going to happen? You're going to collapse them, aren't you? So you must make sure your anchoring is very clean when you do the chaining anchors process. You want to think of it like stepping stones. Yeah? So we do this state, then this state, then this state, then this state. Okay? Or you can do it one thing. If you want this state, then this state, then this state. Whatever you want to do. Either way, that way. Or I do it this way, because otherwise there's no danger then of you actually doing it at the same time. If you do it this way, you could do it at the same time. So I do it this way, this way, this way, this way. The downside with this is it's like the person sitting down. So you can only, it's only a really sitting down process. You can't do it while they're standing up. So it's a bit restrictive from that point of view. And it's good because it does mark out the thing. So as long as the person's sitting down, you've just got to ramp up the stuff while the person's sitting down. Because when they're standing, it's a bit easier to get into state sometimes. So when they're sitting down, you've just got to be more playful and more energetic and more flexible to get them into the state. So let's have a look at the chaining anchors process then on page 6. So obviously, as always, get into rapport. With all anchoring processes, unless they're going to be covert, then obviously you're going to set the frame with the client of what you're going to be doing. In just a moment, I'm going to do a process called chaining anchors, and it's going to necessitate me touch you on the knuckles. Is that okay? So identify the undesired present state, e.g. procrastination, and decide on the positive resource end state. So you get the before and the after. So what they don't want and what they want instead. And then what you do is you go inside and then work out what the intermediate states would you want them to be. whether that be now maybe the stuck state would be like hesitation, for example. Then you might want to move them to, for example, you know, feeling just frustrated. You want to move them frustrated to like on the verge. And then to like being in their power, for example, and being feeling strong and certain. That would be a good one, obviously. There's two parts to this process. One is chain design, and then the other is the actual intervention itself. So I'm giving the overview of everything for the minute, and then we'll break it down into constituent parts in a sec. So we design the chain, and we can utilize the client. We can say to the client, okay, so what do you think would get you out of... what would get you out of hesitation? Now, no challenge with that, of course, is if the person's hesitating, they might struggle to give you an answer for a while. So you might have to push them along a bit. Or if they're like, you know, state of uncertainty, you know. So what would get you out of uncertainty? I don't know. So you might have to push them along and help them a bit. So you design the chain with the client, and then together you decide and make sure they can make the jump. So in your neurology, you think, could I go from hesitation to frustration in one step? If you can, good, great. It's a good. It could be a good chain. Check with the client that they could do the same thing. Could that work? If you say, can you go from hesitation to excitement, and they go like, yeah, you should think about it, you probably can't, can you? Hesitation to excitement is a big jump, isn't it? You know, between those two things. So we design the chain. Once we design the chain, what we do is go ahead and elicit and anchor the very first state. So if it was the hesitation or it was procrastination, whatever you call it, you would actually go ahead and have them so go, okay, so can you remember a time in the past where you've really, really hesitated? And they say, yep. And you go, okay, can you remember a specific time? They say, yep. You say, good. So, I want you to go back to that time now, float down through your body, etc., etc. Go back and experience, see it for your own eyes, associated, and see what you saw, hear what you heard, feel what you felt, and really tune into those feelings of hesitation. Yeah, get them hesitation coming up, anchor it. So you're doing the first knuckle, anchoring. Good, take it off, break state. Or you might want to find another one. You might want to stack it up. Yeah, you might want to do another hesitation because you want it to be really, really present state associated, right? So if it's not very strong, say, okay, can you think of another time? Da 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 da. Have the person go back to the time and really get that, whatever that trigger is, for example, that they may remember from last time. So it won't always be the same trigger. It could be a number of different events where they hesitate. So just get all those out and get them anchored onto this first knuckle. So stack each of the states, including the present state, if necessary, to ensure that the anchor is suitably intense. Because remember, one of the keys to anchoring is that it has to be intense for it to work. If it's not intense, it won't work. Okay. Break state in between each one, because you obviously don't want to start chaining them together straight away. So each time, break state completely in between, and then fire off the new anchor, okay? So you're repeating steps 5 to 7 for each subsequent state, i.e. elicit state. So what are you going to do first? If you're going to elicit a state, what's the very first thing you're going to do? After rapport, what's the next thing you're going to do? You go into the state, okay? If you're listening to the state, you've got to go into the state first because of rapport, pace and lead, and it gives permission to the client to do the same thing. Like I said, you know, can you remember a time in the past where you really, 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 you really, really, was stuck and like didn't know what to do? It's not going to work, is it? You know, can you remember a time in the past where you're really, really bored? You know, you're so bored, you know, you're really, really bored. Can you remember a time? That's it, that's the one. Yeah, that's good. Ain't gonna work. So you need to do boredom with them. If they have a bored state, can you ever turn up and ask me, you're like, really bored, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. They go, yeah, now. Get on with it. Okay, good. Now, once you've got your states, test each state. So test each anchor. So you fire off the first one, make sure they do boredom, or whatever it is that you're doing. Break state, do something else. Next one, makes do that. So you make sure each individual anchor by itself has the effect. Then we're going to chain each state together. And this is what it looks like. So you go like, okay, fire one, watch the state come up, comes off its peak. As it comes off its peak, you see them start to come out of the state, good, fire two. See the state coming up, as the stuff comes off the state, good, fire three. As that state comes up, comes off, fire four. And keep four held down until the end for a few more seconds, 5 seconds or so, till the states come off, good, break state, and then you've got a test. So the first test you do is you fire the first anchor. So the test is firing the first anchor. What you should see when you fire the first anchor is the person should either go very quickly through all the states, see some confusion coming up, and ultimately finish up with the end state feeling good, motivate, whatever it is, or you'll see them just go straight into the state immediately. Okay? That make sense? And then you do your test in future place. So can you think of a time in the past which, if it happened previously, would have caused you to procrastinate, whatever? And then future pace. So can you think of a time in the future which, if it happened in the past, would have caused you to procrastinate? Again, notice how it's different now. Get congruency. You're looking for your answers, remember, each time. Get congruent answers. Have them convince you. Convince me it's done. I'm not convinced. Prove it to me. Show me. Da-da-da. I am, etc., etc. Good, then you're done. That's the chaining anchors process. Let's now have a look at the design criteria for anchor chains. So turn the page to page 7. And there are 8 criteria for chain design. First one, I think we got some of these on. So there we are. Let's go back briefly then to the actual process itself. So elicit all the states and anchor, test, chain 1 to 2, anchor comes off, 2 to 3, anchor comes off, 3 to 4, into your desired state. So chain design. Decide the first and the last state first. So decide the first state, and then decide what the person wants to be doing instead. So you got your present state and your desired state. Next one. Decide on your criteria for immediate states. So decide on what your immediate states are going to be. Now, your states, intermediary states, they can either be towards or away from states. So what do we mean by a towards and away from state? Perfect. Yeah, okay, so you've got a pain-pleasure thing going on, right? So with your second state, i.e., or if you like, your first intermediary state, this one, it can be a mild away from state. Would you describe frustration as being a mild away from? It is, isn't it? Because it's you don't want to be in it, so you want to get out of it. And frustration has movement in it, doesn't it? It's, you know, there's energy in the actual state itself, as opposed to here, procrastination is like not doing anything. So this is movement. So it gets the chain moving. Does that make sense? So you can have it doesn't have to be. But it could be a mild away from would work very well here if necessary, okay? So a mild away from to get the chain moving. Because remember, the first state is going to be a stuck state. So, what do we have next? So then, and then after that, they should all be toward states. Yeah. So next state must have movement, i.e. frustration. And you must ask yourself, what will be sufficiently an intense state to move the chain onto the next state? So these are the questions you're kind of running in your head when you're designing the chain. Each state must be sufficiently intense to keep the chain moving. You know, it's no good starting off with frustration, then going into a state that kind of stops them in their tracks. It must keep them moving. The second to last state definitely must be a toward state. So if you have a fifth one, five states, the third one in here, again, could be a mild away from, and the very last state absolutely must be a toward state. Okay, the state must be self-initiated. What does that mean? What do we mean by self-initiated? It doesn't need an external stimulus to fire it off. So they must be able to do it now, kind of thing. And the state should not be how they already do it. For what purpose mustn't it be the way they already do it? Because what they already do doesn't work. Otherwise, why are they coming to see you in the first place? So an example of a state which is not self-initiated or requires some immediate external thing is like, sometimes it's like, okay, with the not knowing one, so what would get you out of that? Oh, frustration, great. Then what would you want to do next? Go to the library and do some research. Firstly, it's not a state, it's an action, and they can't do it now. So what happens is the chain won't run because they've got to go down the library to do the next step. It must be an emotion, it must be a state to make it work. Okay? Or the other one that people do is like, so what would get you out of, you know, procrastination? They go like, you know, well, a deadline coming up. Well, again, that's no use because they can't do it now. And also, it's probably how they do it already. The problem they have at the moment is they wait till the last minute to take action on stuff before they get started. You want to get that created in advance. So, let's just run through that one more time. So, what we're doing is, you're going to find out what their stuck state is. Examples of stuck states, you can use either one of two here. Or one of three you can use, either starting with procrastination or uncertainty or hesitation. Use one of those three. So procrastination, uncertainty or hesitation. Start with one of those three with your client, because everybody does those states at some point. Now, just so you know why you'd want to do this and why this is so powerful to use is that once you've created this, you won't get stuck in this state anymore, ever again. So ever you feel like you want to procrastinate on something, what will happen is you'll automatically find yourself taking action very quickly. I'm very rarely still these days not taking action on something, unless I decide that I want to be still for my own purposes. So I'm always active and taking action the whole time. So I really rarely sit back and don't take action. It's one of the great things that's definitely made me successful is the ability to keep taking action all the time. So I did those things myself to create me more success in my business. So it's a very powerful technique. So the technique is rapport, set the frame with the client, identify end state or beginning state and end state, then decide on your intermediary states with your client, work out the chain, then elicit the first state, go into the state yourself, elicit the state as it comes up, go back to the time. So you haven't got that script there, so you might need that script again from before, so go back to that time now, So it's in your collapse anchors script if you need it. So go back to that time now, see what you saw, hear what you heard, feel what you felt, really float down your body, see it for your own eyes, etc., etc. Do you have it in collapse anchors? I believe you do. Yes? So you fire the anchor off, you get the anchor, take it off, and if necessary, stack that anchor, break state, and then what you do is you go in and do the next anchor and repeat that process all the way through, break state, test each anchor individually to make sure they work, and then chain the anchor. Da-da. See the state come up as it just comes off, fire the next one. See the state come up as it comes off, fire the next one. See the state come up, come off, fire the next one. Okay, I don't need to demo this because you've already know how to do this already, because this is just another version of the chain anchors is just another version of the anchor process you already know. You already know all the steps already to do this. Okay? And then once you're complete and done, test your anchor. See the person either goes through the states very quickly or they go straight into the final state. And then do your test and future pace.